We've seen the problems in education and justice, but there's a deeper crisis. Most people don't even understand what AI is doing in their lives. I'm looking at survey data from three continents, and the pattern is startling. When asked, "Have you interacted with an AI system today?" 78% say no or don't know. But when you list the activities, using a search engine, scrolling social media, getting a product recommendation, using a navigation app, even unlocking their phone with facial recognition, that number flips. 92% have. There's a massive comprehension gap between the thing and the experience.
It's not accidental, Alex. I've been mapping the language used in consumer-facing AI, and it's a masterclass in obfuscation. They use what I call comfort words: smart fridge, personalized feed, intuitive assistant. These are warm, fuzzy terms that describe a human quality, not a technical process. They deliberately avoid the mechanistic truth: algorithmically controlled, pattern-predicting, data-harvesting fridge. The language is designed to bypass critical thinking.
And this hits hardest in public spaces, like my library. A patron last week, an older gentleman, was furious because his social security portal had changed the rules. It wasn't rules. It was a new AI-driven verification system that kept rejecting his documents. The error messages were pure gibberish: upload failure, biometric signature mismatch, please ensure document integrity. He thought he'd done something wrong. He didn't understand he was arguing with a statistical model that had a 2% error rate on weathered paper documents. His comprehension was zero. His frustration was total.
I see this from the other side, the PR side, the tech briefings. There's a deliberate funnel. For journalists like me, they'll use terms like large language model or neural network. For the public press release, it becomes advanced technology or innovative assistant. The technical reality is filtered out before it reaches people. And when I push for plain language explanations of, say, how a recommendation algorithm actually works, I get metaphors. It's like a helpful librarian. No, it's not. A librarian has ethics, a bounded knowledge set, and doesn't get paid more if you check out certain books.
My media literacy students, they think they get it. They'll say, "Oh yeah, TikTok's algorithm knows me." But when I ask them to draw how it knows them, what data points it uses, how it tests if its predictions are right, they hit a wall. They have a magical understanding. It just knows. That's not literacy. That's superstition. And it makes them incredibly vulnerable to manipulation. If you don't understand the mechanism, you can't understand its flaws, its biases, or its motives.
So we have a public swimming in AI, breathing it, but with no understanding of the water's composition, the currents, or who's controlling the tide. Let's start with the most visible domain: media. Deepfakes, generated news articles, synthetic voices. Nadia, what's the public's comprehension level there?
Abysmal, but uneven. Most people now know the term deepfake thanks to celebrity face swap videos, but they think it's a high-tech Hollywood effect. They don't understand that the same fundamental technology, generative AI, is creating the plausible but fake news article they just read, or the product review, or the social media comment arguing with them. They're looking for a visual glitch, a weird blur, when the real threat is imperfect, grammatically correct text that perfectly mimics their favorite commentator's style. The literacy is focused on the flashy symptom, not the pervasive disease.
And for my generation, it's even more confusing. We were taught to trust certain signatures of authenticity: the logo of a reputable newspaper, the familiar voice of a news anchor, the letterhead. Those are all now easily forged. An AI can generate a perfect-looking BBC article in seconds. So our old literacy tools are broken. But the new tools, checking the metadata, reverse image search, understanding training data, aren't being taught to us in a way that sticks. We're told to be skeptical, but without the framework for how to be skeptical of something that looks and sounds flawless. That's the critical gap. We're trying to solve an AI literacy problem with 20th century media literacy tools. Check the source doesn't work when the source is a hallucination. Consider the motive is fuzzy when the motive is engagement at all costs programmed into an algorithm. We need new frameworks. I start my workshops with a simple concept: everything is a prediction, not a presentation. That news article? A prediction of what words should follow other words based on patterns in its training data. That recommended video? a prediction of what will keep you on the platform. That credit score, a prediction of your likelihood to default. It frames AI not as intelligence, but as advanced automated pattern matching with a goal.
I love that. Prediction, not presentation. I'm going to use that. Because in the library, we're fighting the presentation problem every day. A student comes in with a perfectly formatted, beautifully written essay on the causes of the French Revolution generated by an AI. It presents as authoritative. But when you ask the student to explain the third paragraph or the connection between two events it mentioned, they can't because the AI didn't understand the revolution. It predicted a plausible sequence of facts and analysis. The literacy isn't about detecting the AI. It's about probing for the understanding behind the presentation.
And that probing skill is critical thinking, which is in short supply. My students are so used to surfaces, the Instagram feed, the TikTok clip, the Google snippet, that they've lost the muscle for digging. AI exploits that. It provides the ultimate surface, coherent, confident, and utterly depthless. To build AI literacy, we ironically have to rebuild the very human skill of asking why and how do you know? Not just of the output, but of the system itself. Who made you? What were you trained on? What do you want me to do?
Let's move from media to the consumer domain. This is the daily drip feed, recommendation algorithms, dynamic pricing, targeted ads. This is where people feel the effect, but understand it the least.
Here, the obfuscation is commercial. They want it to feel like magic. How did it know I was thinking about hiking boots? That sense of wonder is a product feature. It creates loyalty and a sense of personal care. Explaining that you were tracked from your web search to your location data showing you drove past an outdoor store, to your friend's post you liked about camping, to the microphone on your phone that heard you complain about your old shoes, that ruins the magic. It replaces wonder with creepiness. So the systems are designed to feel intelligent, not mechanistic.
It also creates a strange helplessness. My daughter showed me how her grocery delivery app changes prices. Milk might be 3.49 cents for her, but 4.19 cents for me, based on our shopping history, our location, even the time of day. She called it smart pricing. I called it cheating. But when I tried to complain, who do I complain to? There's no manager for the algorithm. The customer service person just reads a script. My comprehension of the injustice is high. But my comprehension of the mechanism, and therefore my ability to challenge it, is zero. That's a perfect example of a needed literacy, algorithmic negotiation. How do you advocate for yourself with a system that has no consciousness, only optimization goals? The first step is understanding its goal. The grocery app's AI isn't cheating. It's trying to maximize revenue. It has predicted, based on your data, that you will tolerate a higher price for milk. The literacy is in knowing you can reset that prediction. Clear your cookies, use a different account, shop at a different time, or the ultimate move, go to a competitor. You're not arguing with a person. You're feeding different data into a model to change its output.
And we have to teach that these models are statistical, not deterministic. They deal in probabilities, not certainties. When a hiring algorithm filters out a resume, it's not saying this person is bad. It's saying, based on patterns in past hires, people with these keywords from these schools with this career gap have a 12% lower probability of success as defined by our metrics. Framing it as probability, however cold, is more accurate and reveals the flaws. What if the past hires were biased? What if success is poorly defined? Probability can be interrogated, a flat the algorithm decided cannot.
That leads us to the civic domain, AI in government, voting, public services. This is where the comprehension gap has the highest stakes.
And the least transparency. A city might implement an AI to optimize bus routes or predict where to send social workers. The press release talks about efficiency and data-driven decision-making. The contract with the tech company is often proprietary. The algorithm itself is a black box. So the public, whose taxes paid for it and whose lives are affected by it, has no way to understand it. They see buses disappearing from their neighborhood or a social worker at their door with no explanation they can access. This creates a crisis of trust in institutions that are already fragile.
It also kills civic engagement. How do you protest a decision made by an algorithm? You can't picket it. You can't vote it out. The literacy needed here is system tracing. Can you trace the decision back to a human-made policy? The bus route algorithm was told to optimize for ridership efficiency. That's a human choice. Maybe the community values coverage for elderly residents more than pure efficiency. The fight isn't with the AI. It's with the policymakers who chose the optimization goal and bought a black box to execute it. The literacy is in redirecting the anger from the mysterious machine to the accountable people.
But that requires a level of systems thinking that is being eroded. We're becoming consumers of governance, not participants. When an automated system denies your benefits application, the energy required to appeal, to trace, to understand is immense. Most people, especially those struggling, just give up. The AI becomes an impenetrable wall. Literacy here isn't just about understanding. It's about energy and access. Do you have the time, the internet, the verbal skill to navigate the appeals chatbot for hours? Which is why our frameworks must be simple and portable. I teach a three-question framework for any AI system you encounter. 1. What is it optimizing for? Profit, engagement, efficiency, accuracy. 2. What is it missing? What data isn't it considering? What values aren't in its equation? 3. How can I confuse it? What action breaks its prediction? This reveals its limitations. If you apply this to a social media feed, 1. It's optimizing for your engagement time on platform. 2. It's missing truth, nuance, your long-term mental health. 3. You can confuse it by deliberately engaging with content you disagree with, breaking its echo chamber prediction.
That's powerful. Let's apply it to the workplace domain, automated management, hiring algorithms, productivity surveillance.
I've seen this with library staff. A new system schedules shifts based on predicted foot traffic. It's optimizing for labor cost efficiency. What's it missing? The veteran staff member who knows how to handle a complex genealogy inquiry that takes an hour but builds immense community goodwill. The system sees that as an inefficient use of time. It sees a low transaction count. How do you confuse it? You might have to game it, log the inquiry as multiple transactions, which distorts the data but protects the valuable human service. That's a tragic literacy, learning to lie to the machine to do your job well.
In hiring, the what is it missing question is everything. These algorithms are often trained on a company's past successful hires. If that company has historically hired mostly men from Ivy League schools, the algorithm will optimize for that pattern. It's missing the brilliant candidate from a state school, or the career changer, or anyone who doesn't fit the historical mold. The literacy for job seekers becomes a dark art of keyword stuffing and format optimization, learning to present as the prediction the AI wants, which again, has nothing to do with actual capability.
And for workers, understanding automated management is about understanding you are a data point. Your keystrokes, your bathroom breaks, your email response times are being fed into a model that predicts your productivity score or attrition risk. It's dehumanizing by design. The only empowerment literacy here might be collective. One worker's data is meaningless. A workforce's data pattern can reveal the algorithm's flaws. If everyone's productivity score drops after the company removes free coffee, that's a data-driven argument a human manager might understand.
Health and financial domains are next, perhaps where the consequences are most personal. AI diagnosis, insurance algorithms, credit scoring, loan approvals.
Health is terrifying. My friend was told by her doctor that an AI system had flagged her scan. The doctor said, "The AI sees something we don't. That's it. No explanation of what something was, what data it was trained on. Its error rate for women her age." She was left with pure anxiety, facing a follow-up biopsy with zero comprehension of the statistical likelihood she was actually facing. The AI was an oracle, not a tool. The literacy needed is for doctors to explain it as a very sensitive pattern spotter that sometimes gets it wrong, and for patients to have the right to ask, what's its false positive rate for someone like me? Exactly. It's about translating statistical performance into human risk. The AI doesn't know. It calculates a probability. The literacy is in demanding that probability be communicated. Not the AI says you have cancer, but the AI's model assigns an 85% probability that this shadow is malignant, based on its training on 10,000 scans. In testing, it was correct 88% of the time for shadows of this type. That's comprehensible. You can work with that. You can ask what the 12% error looks like. The obfuscation happens when they hide the statistics behind the veil of advanced AI.
In finance, it's the same. A credit score is an ancient algorithm, but now it's fed by more data than ever. Your rent payments, your shopping habits, even how you fill out forms. Denied a loan? The letter will say, based on information in your credit report and our scoring model. That's a black box. The literacy fight here has been for explainable AI, the right to a reason. Not a technical reason, but a human actionable one. Your application was denied due to high utilization on revolving credit, 35%, and 4 recent hard inquiries. That allows you to change behavior, but many systems still hide behind trade secret protections.
And this hits marginalized communities hardest. If you don't have the baseline financial literacy to understand what a hard inquiry is, the explainability is useless. AI literacy isn't a standalone skill. It layers on top of media literacy, financial literacy, health literacy, civic literacy. If those are weak, AI literacy is impossible. It's like trying to learn calculus when you don't know arithmetic. Our public education system is failing at the arithmetic, and now a tsunami of AI calculus is hitting people.
So we have a multi-layered crisis. Deliberate obfuscation by designers, a loss of critical thinking skills in the public, a fragmentation of literacy needs across different domains, and a sheer complexity that feels overwhelming. Where do we even start to build a public understanding? What does a practical, everyday AI literacy look like?
We start with the kitchen table, not the classroom. We start with curiosity, not fear. When your kid says, "How does YouTube know I like this?" don't say, "It's spying on you." That creates helpless paranoia. Say, "Let's figure it out. What did you watch before this? Did you like it? How long did you watch? I bet it's taking notes on all of that and guessing." Make it a detective game. You're reverse engineering the prediction.
And we need public metaphors that are accurate, not magical. I ban the word learns in my workshops. AI doesn't learn like a human, it adjusts weights. So I use the recipe metaphor. An AI is like a recipe that can change its own ingredients. It starts with a recipe for cake. The initial algorithm, it bakes 10,000 cakes, trains on data, tastes them, and tweaks the amount of flour or sugar. Adjusts weights to make the average cake tastier, optimize the loss function. It doesn't know what cake is, it just has a recipe that, after many tries, produces something we recognize as cake more often. This demystifies it. It's a powerful, automated, but mindless recipe tweaker. For seniors, we need hands-on, non-judgmental spaces. Not a tech class, but a let's unpack this together session. Bring in your bill that you think used dynamic pricing. Bring in the weird email you got. Let's poke at it as a group. The social aspect is crucial. It reduces shame and pools collective intelligence. One person might know about reverse image search. Another might know about checking email headers. Together, we build a literacy toolkit.
And the media needs to do its job. Stop reporting on AI breakthroughs with breathless awe. Report on them with mechanistic skepticism. Company X released an AI that can write legal briefs. How does it work? It predicts text patterns from its training data, which includes old briefs. What are the risks? It may hallucinate fake cases. What's it missing? Ethical reasoning, client empathy. Frame it as a tool with specific capabilities and flaws, not an intelligence.
Libraries can be the front line. We're trusted, we're free, and we're about information literacy already. We can host those workshops, create simple bookmarks with Maya's 3 questions, offer one-on-one sessions to help someone understand why their job application keeps getting auto-rejected. We can be the translators between the black box and the lived experience.
This brings us back to the core discovery from the data. The gap isn't just about knowledge, it's about power. When you don't understand a system, you are subject to it. When you understand it, even a little, you gain agency. You can choose to feed it different data. You can question its goal. You can demand transparency. You can confuse it to protect your humanity.
That's the ultimate goal of AI literacy: agency, not expertise. We don't need everyone to code a neural network. We need everyone to have the critical framework to ask the right questions and the confidence to know that even the most complex AI is ultimately a human-made system. reflecting human choices, biases, and goals. It is not fate. It is not magic. It is a recipe, constantly being tweaked, and we have a right to know what's in it.
So the public comprehension crisis is, at its heart, a democratic crisis. If we cannot understand the systems that manage our information, our money, our health, and our civic life, we cannot consent to their use. We are not citizens. We are inputs. The work of building AI literacy, therefore, isn't a technical fix. It's the foundational work of rebuilding an informed public capable of navigating and governing the 21st century. It starts with simple concepts asked persistently at every kitchen table, library desk, and community center. What is this thing optimizing for? What is it missing? And how can I see it for what it truly is?